The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. That's from Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And brethren, we need to understand that what is being stated here in these three verses, this is an awesome and truly inspiring truth for us to understand. At creation, the great God separated light from darkness. We also understand something else about this, that we also can see that in a both literal physical and spiritual truth that this is proclaiming. In a literal way, in a physical and in a spiritual way, this is being proclaimed. And what I'm referring to specifically is the God who separates light from darkness is this great God that we worship. He is the one who does this. He is the one that has done this. We also understand something else. We understand it from the pages of the Bible that God uses many different analogies to communicate to us. In fact, he does it in such a figurative and colorful way with different words, colorful language we might want to use in the pages of the Bible about things that we experience. God does this so that he can show us things that we otherwise might not be able to understand. So he presents it to us in different ways. He presents it to us in things such as analogies or symbols, metaphors, similes, and all of those kinds of things. One of God's most frequently used analogies is that of light. It is important for us also to understand as we look into this topic that when we read the Bible and we come across the word light, sometimes it is not an analogy at all or any of these other things. It is simply referring to light as we know it, corresponding to the sun or those kind of physical sources that we would understand as light. But many times we come across the word light in the scripture. It is an analogy, and we need to see that. We need to understand it in that way. So in this teaching today, we are going to see some different aspects about light. And we're also going to see how our lives are affected by this important topic of light. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 14, Jesus Christ himself makes an incredible, powerful statement, and we need to get this, we need to understand it. And that statement is, we, referring to the church of God, those who are part of the body of Jesus Christ, we are the light of the world. Also notice with me, if you will, that the Apostle Paul also tells us we are lights in the Lord. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. It says, "For you were sometimes darkness." Us? We were sometimes darkness? Yeah, we were. Yeah, we were. "But now are you light in the Lord." Walk as children of light. There needs to be a therefore. You used to be in darkness. Now you're not. Why are we now not in darkness? Because God saw the light that it was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God separated us from the darkness. We were sometimes in darkness, but now we are in light in the Lord, and we are to walk as children of the light. That's the point that he's getting across here. This is a very important point. Also, we see in 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse 5, and also again in Luke chapter 16 in verse 8, as well as other scriptures, other verses in the Bible, that God's word refers to us as children of the light. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5. You are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Why are we not of the darkness? Because God separated the light from the darkness. You are the children of the light, therefore God has separated us from the darkness. And this is what we see here. Luke chapter 16 and verse 8. I also referenced that one. Let's go there. Luke 16 and verse 8. And the Lord commanded the unjust steward, because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Yeah, there are times that people in the world look like they're much wiser in the way that they do things than we are, who are part of the body of Jesus Christ. But here, we're referenced, we're shown that we are children of light. Another thing that we need to know and we need to think about is that our Heavenly Father is the Father of lights. Go with me now to James chapter 1 and verse 17. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So here's the point that we can see, and I think this is a very important point that I want to get across, that I want us to see very early in this sermon. Our Father can beget us as lights because He Himself is light. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. In this is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. God is separated from the darkness. There is no darkness in Him. And it's very obvious, and this is not part of the sermon of and by itself that we're going to actually talk about. I'm just going to mention it here. That if we are of, our Father has begotten us because He is light, we are children of the light, we are His children, and there's no darkness in Him, what is this saying? That there is to be no darkness in us. And the fact that He states that He has separated the light from the darkness, we are separated from that. And we need to understand that. We are separated from the darkness of this world because God said so and God has done that. And we have been begotten as lights because our Father is the Father of lights. We also know that from other passages, some other important things that we can see as analogies where light is used that we can gather information. Another one is that Jesus is the light of the world. We're going to see several different passages here. Most all of them, in fact, all of them are going to be in the book of John. So let's go to John, and let's begin in John 8 and verse 12. John 8 and verse 12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me. Who follows Him? Those that are of the light. Those that are of the light. He's talking about us. Those that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 1. John 1, verse 7. John 1 and verse 7. The same came for a witness. This is referring, actually, to John the Baptist as being the witness here. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that he is referring to, that he came to bear witness of, was Jesus Christ. And so John came to bear witness of Jesus Christ as being the light. That's what he's saying. That all men through him might believe. He was not the light. John was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. And those that follow me are going to have that kind of light and life in them. And so here it is. He's saying he came to declare that Jesus Christ is that light, and through him all can believe. But do all believe now? No, all don't believe. So we're all now in that light? No. But those who follow Jesus Christ, they are. This is referring to the church. John chapter 9 and verse 5. John 9 and verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Go to one more passage here, and that is in John 12 and verse 46. John 12 and verse 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. So you see, we have this choice here. We can abide in Jesus Christ, follow his way of life, or not. If we don't, we're in darkness. If we do, then we are to be lights of the world. That's real simple, isn't it? It's real straightforward. But we are to be lights of the world and not abiding in darkness. Another analogy that we can see and we know dealing with light is we're told that God's law is light. God's law is light. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. Proverbs 6 verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So the law of God is the light. It's another analogy that we can see. We also know it says that God's word tells us that God's word is a light for our path. It lights it up. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is the word of God that lights up the path for us, showing us the way in which we're to go. So we see a lot of different analogies, right, about light and how it affects our life. And so looking at these verses, and there are others that we could apply to it as well, but just looking at the ones that we've just read, looking at for some different background, we can come to the place that we can now describe light in three different ways. Very important for us to understand. Number one is we can describe light as being with us and around us. A second point of how we can describe light is that it is shining upon us. And then a third point that we can see in how to describe light is being in us. Now, how can we make these statements that the word of God shows us that light can be described as with us and around us? It can be shining upon us, and it can be in us. How can we use that terms, and how can we make this statement? Because we have been begotten as children of light. Can God's people have spiritual light? Of course we can. Of course we can. In fact, what we understand is it is God's specific will and his design that we have this spiritual light, that it be around us and with us and on us and in us, because he has begotten us, as we said, as children of light. Brethren, I also want to make it clear, and I want us to understand it in this way, that from the Bible we can see that God expects us He expects us to shine as lights in this world. And you know what? He has not taken any part of it at all, of this light toward us and given it to us in any frivolous manner. It is very important to him that what he has given to us in describing light to us is very important to us, because that is part of his great purpose and great plan, that he wants us to be lights shining in the world. Because our shining as lights is such a serious matter to our calling, and so serious as part of our walk with God, we need to turn our attention to keeping the light within us burning very brightly. Just having the light isn't enough. I mean, you can have a flashlight, you can turn it on, and it'd be a dim battery in there, and it just barely just come out. Or you can have this other flashlight, and I happen to have one of these, that it advertises being a 1,000,000 candle watt light. Yeah, right. I don't know if it is or not, but that's what it says. But I guarantee you can't look at it when it's charged up. You wish you hadn't have. Now, which one, the light, do you think God was want us to be? The one that's got the weak, worn-down battery to just... Oh, yeah, I can see this little tiny light. Yeah. Or this one is shining so brightly that you... I mean, which one is it? Well, I think we know. And so God wants us, as part of our calling and as part of our walk with him, to be part of this light shining to all the world. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. If you were going to commit to memory any of the verses that I would give in this sermon today, this would be the one. I'm not telling you can click out now and not listen to the rest of the sermon, but this is it. This is what the whole sermon boils around in one sense, this entire verse, this one verse. Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they... Who are the they? The world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify that they, the world, who are seeing you shining so brightly through the acts that you're doing, the good works you're doing, all of these things that are coming from God, what they're really seeing is the source. Where does the light come from? It comes from God, shining from us. We understand all of this. But because the world is seeing us as a result of that, therefore the world can glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now I'm going to tell you, this is not what we've read this verse before. But in the church in the past, we've not emphasized the fact that it's you. It is. It is. It's all of us. We're all part of that you. Let your light so shine before men that they, the men that it's referring to, may see your good works, and that they, the men, will glorify your Father which is in heaven. So with having said all that we've said up to this point, I think there's a time that we need to ask a question. And the question is, how can we be sure that we are keeping the light within us burning brightly, that the world will see what the world needs to see? Or to put it another way, how can we be sure that we are keeping the light within us burning brightly so that the world will see what God wants the world to see? Oh, so you mean there's a responsibility in having the light? Because you see, we just see from this, God wants the light to see. God wants the world to see the light. And he uses us for the world to see, that as a result, they can glorify God. So how can we be sure that our light is burning brightly, so that the world will see what God wants the world to see? Well, obviously, there would be many different ways to accomplish this. But I have at this particular point some questions to help us understand, I hope for us to understand, how we can keep God's light in us shining so that the world will see what God wants the world to see. Now, I'm going to tell you right at the beginning, I have a couple of handouts. And I'm going to go through a couple of the questions from these. I'm going to go through a couple of these questions that I think will help us. There are more questions on the handouts than what I'm going to go through here. But I'm going to kind of give you a sample of it. The first set of questions that we have, and one of the questions I have is, what do you believe it takes to be a light to others? I mean, I've already said, we're the lights of the world, right? God said, you're the light of the world. Let your light so shine so that the world will see it, what God wants it to see. So I think a question that we need to consider, that we need to think about is, what do you believe it takes to be a light to others? I know you could go back and you could say, well, you just answered that. God has given it to us because we have God's Holy Spirit. Right, okay. I'm talking about that you can let your light so shine that they will see your good works. What are some things that you could do? What are some things that we can do in our lives on a daily basis? I'm not offering the answers. I'm giving the questions. But it's things for us to think about. Another way you may want to ask that one is, what do you need to be a light? What are some of the things that you need to be a light? Well, one thing is we need the awareness of the opportunities at hand. There may be situations going on and you not even think about that. Hey, here's a great opportunity that I have that I can be a light of God to these people. Let me ask you that, not necessarily asking for comments, but ask you this. Do you ever think that? Do you ever ask yourself that question? Am I aware of the opportunities that I can be a light to somebody else? Another thing, obviously, we need is we need the skills to be able to know how to do it. Does the pages of the Bible tell us how to receive the skills? Yes, it does. We're going to see a little bit of that in just a little bit. Another thing is sometimes we might just simply need more information about what is needed. How do I handle this given situation? Now, there are things that we know and we teach from the Bible that there may be other people who may not understand this. And I'll give you a real simple one here that we would all understand, and that is clean and unclean foods. The Bible's real plain for us. We see it. Is it a major point of salvation that if you eat something that is considered in the Bible as unclean, that we're not aware that it is? No. If we do it with, you know, with our thumb in the air, you know, our thumb and our nose up to God in the air and say, well, it doesn't really make any difference. That's a different thing. I'm not dealing with that. I'm talking about, you know, is it one of these critical major things that if you do it, you don't know it, is it going to cause salvation? I don't think so. Doing it with intent, knowing that it's wrong, that's another subject. But I think from time to time, we all probably, very likely, if you've been in church for any period of time, and if you have like me, you've been in church for a long time, you've probably run into situations where there are people that want to serve you something out of the generosity of their hearts, that they want to give you something, and you go, thank you very much, but I don't eat this. I don't want to offend you. How do you handle that? How do you handle that? We can be either a light with a little bitty bulb, very, very tiny, or we can be a bright, bright light. Now, which one would you want to be in that situation? And I know there are people who have simply just given in and gone ahead and eaten it and destroyed their conscience as a result of it because they didn't know how to handle it. That person, Jesse said, they turned their light off and said, I don't want to be a light. Don't want to be an example here. Because they didn't have the skills. They didn't know how to handle it. They didn't know what to do. How would you deal with that? It's something to think about. These are questions that he just got a list of questions and, you know. No, these are serious things that we need to consider. Has it ever happened to you? If it hasn't, what would you do if it did? I'm going to tell you a personal situation about this thing about the thing with the pork. I was between two semesters in college and had this job. My first day on the job, the boss comes to me and says, I want to take you home to my house for lunch today. And I went, oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, you know. So he's taking me home. He's in his car. We're going home. And on the way, and he says, now, I got to stop at the store and pick something in first because my wife told me to do that. You just wait in the car, and I'll go in. Well, he comes back in, puts the grocery thing on the back seat. We go to his house. He goes in. He sits down. He says, I'm the boss. We're going to take a little bit of extra longer lunch today. He says, so my wife is cooking something very, very special that we don't have very often, but we like to have you in as a guest in our house. You know what happened. It was pork chops. Now, I knew that I was not going to eat it. In fact, I grew up, thank you, God, never having eaten any of these things. It didn't make me anything special, but I think you understand where I am. So I knew that I was not going to eat it. But I knew right then, I can be a light to this guy or not. And so I said, thank you very, very much. What a treat, what a blessing to be added into something so special. But I need to let you know that I do not eat. And he said, what are you, a Jew? Maybe some of you can tell you exactly what I told him, but I didn't get fired. You know, he didn't invite me home ever the rest of that summer either, but he still was my boss and still liked me. So I think that he appreciated the way I did it. But how do you do this? You know, how do you do this? What do you do? I mean, that's a minor situation. That's a minor situation. Another thing that we might need to be a light would be, you got to have the right attitude toward it. You can go, I don't care what this guy thinks. Or you can remember this verse that I told you. If you don't remember anything else, remember this verse. So let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we can have this right attitude toward being this light or not caring. And you got to be aware of it in the given situation. And I'm going to tell you, Satan does not come to us and say, okay, I'm going to test you at this particular moment, does he? No, it comes upon you out of nowhere. So you have to always be on guard, always be ready for these kinds of things. So your attitude has to be one, whatever you're doing, wherever you are, whatever the circumstances are, that you're being a light. It's either just barely shining or it's a bright, shiny light. Which one do you want? And of course, another thing that we need to be the right kind of light is God's Holy Spirit. Which is interesting, because just like with light that can be with us and around us, that can also be upon us and it can be in us, we find the Holy Spirit can be in those exact same situations in those same ways. So yeah, sometimes in the Bible, the Holy Spirit could be being referred to as light, or light sometimes could be describing the Holy Spirit. So yes, we have to have God's Holy Spirit, and we have to have it there, available to us, ready for us. In a second handout, I told you I have two handouts, and a second handout that is entitled, Count the Cost for Being a Light to the World. You go, wait a minute. You just told me that I have to be, and now you tell me that I need to count the cost for it? You have to count the cost. You have to be aware of what it's going to cost you, because there are going to be some situations where it comes up that there's going to be some things. So I have some additional questions here, and I'm going to go through just a couple of them with you here. One is, do you feel that being a light will ever require that you speak up about your beliefs? Why or why not? And I'll tell you the answer is yes. If you're going to be tested as being a light, it is going to come up in a way that you are going to require to speak up about your beliefs. More often than not, that is how it's going to happen. Because you have to understand, we eat off a different tree than the people of the world. We already think in a different way. There's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there's the tree of life. Those that have God's Holy Spirit, we eat off of that tree of life. Those that do not have God's Holy Spirit, they eat off the other tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And there's two sides. There's the bad side and there's a better side. There's a bad side and there's a good side. And so sometimes we make comparisons with people and says, well, he sometimes, you know, my neighbor sometimes is a better person than I am because he does da, da, da. No. You're making the comparisons of wrong things. He's not eating off the right tree. He's just eating off of the good side of the wrong tree, but it's still the wrong tree. And we need to see it and understand it in that way. And so when we are tested, it is going to be about our beliefs that are being challenged. And we need to see it, we need to grasp it, and it's going to cost us. And it's going to cost us maybe a lot. So a second question that I think that we need to consider in counting the cost is, how willing are we to deal with personal issues that may rise up, that may surface in the course of being a light? And in this, I have some things to consider just for an illustration, for examples of what I'm talking about. Are you a person that likes to receive a lot of attention? You have to count this as a cost. Being a light is going to cost. And you may be a person who does not like a lot of attention, and guess what? You just got in the spotlight, and you're being challenged on something you believe. You're going to receive a lot of attention. Have you counted that cost? Another one is, do you like threats? I told this little story that I didn't get fired, but it went through my mind because I was on day one. The boss invited me to his house, gave something very special to me, and I refused it. Did I feel threats? I felt the threat of a loss of a job, but not of anything else. But sometimes it may. It may mean something even more than that. Do you like being totally ignorant, or do you like being criticized? I mean, the boss this day said, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. That's what he told me. But I really admire you to be your age and you standing up and for what you believe. Because most people wouldn't do this. Most people probably wouldn't do this. But I knew where I was coming from. That was the point. You know, that was the point. How would you handle it? I mean, we have to think about these things. And maybe you've already handled a lot of these situations. I don't know. But we have to think about it. Another question in counting the cost would be something along the lines of, how well are we equipped to deal with an issue or any issue that may come up? In other words, how will we deal with uncertainties when we are not sure what to do or what is going to happen? That's counting the cost. And am I implying that I think that we need to be prepared for these things before they come up? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we can. Because we can think through it. And that's part of the reason for the handout, is that I recommend that we all take it, answer it, not just take it, fold it, and put it in our Bible and never see it again, maybe to next Sabbath when you come and you open it and go, oh yeah, there's that. You know, no, take it in and answer the questions. Write them out. Write out the answers. Think about these things. Because I think it's something that's very important, because I think it's a topic that we don't focus a lot on. If I'd have started off and saying, are you the light of the world? You'd go, yeah. Well, how prepared are you to be a light of the world? And then you may go, well, I don't know even what you mean. This helps us to prepare. This is the point. And one more question along this way, and like I said, there are many others on this on this survey, but another one to consider is, are we willing to periodically reevaluate ourselves as a light? And the point is, we need to. We need to be. We need to be willing to do that, and we need to do that. And brother, I think most of us, and I think that helps, and so if you will, we'll do the handout here, and for those who want a copy, call us or email and we'll get it to you. But brother, I think most of us also are very familiar with Isaiah chapter 58. We would recognize at least maybe a couple of the first of the verses, like verse 1 says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins." We're going, yeah, they're about to get it. The only problem, brethren, is that they that are about to get it sometimes be us. Because this is talking to us. This is talking to us. When we look further into this chapter, we find some things about light that I believe is very important for each one of us who have already been told that you are the light of the world and we're to go out and to shine. Some of these later verses are going to show us how we can have our light shining very brightly. We're going to read some of these verses. We're going to have a little bit of comments, but there are two of these verses actually is going to describe what happens to our light when we do things in the correct way, how God is listing them out for us. And so go with me to Isaiah 58 and verse 6. And there's two verses here that are very important, and I'll point them out when we get there. Verse 6, "Is not this the fast?" And I'm not dealing with fasting. Fasting is obviously a very important thing here, and it goes along with it. Yes, do I recommend it? We might fast more, and we gather more information, and we do it. You might even want to do this questionnaire while you're fasting. I don't know. Might be something to consider, huh? "That this is the fast which I have chosen." But listen to the things where God is telling us that we're to be, how are we dealing with it? God is asking this as a question. How are you handling these situations? "To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens." Is he saying we need to be doing these things, that we're to be unloosing, to remove, loose the bands of wickedness? Yeah, he is. Upon ourselves and also toward others. And he's also telling us that we're to undo the heavy burdens and we're to set the oppressed go free. Well, I'm not oppressing anybody. Really? Maybe we are. And you don't even, maybe not even be aware of it. Maybe the way that you're dealing with your wife or your husband or your children or your parents or your employee or your employer or your neighbor. And we don't think about it. There's a whole lot of different ways in how we can oppress other people. Are we doing that? Well, obviously, if we're doing that, we're not lights shining very brightly, and that is the point. And we would break every yoke. Verse 7, "Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry?" That's what he says. This is what he's wanting from us. He wants us to have this kind of heart, this type of attitude, and that you bring the poor that are cast out into your home. Now, I'm not implying that you go out on the street corners and bring all the people out there into your home, but it's an attitude at least. And are there things that we can do other than simply as we're driving by, we hold our hands up that they can't see our face? Is that right? I don't think so, according to Isaiah 58. But we're still looking at how we can gather better information, how to have our light shine brighter, because this is the point of what we're dealing with. "When you see the naked, that you cover him." And people are naked in a lot more ways than not having enough clothes on. Everybody needs to be covered in some way. Do we have that as a responsibility? And we're not. Then we need to. "And that they hide not yourself from your own flesh." Verse 8, one of these important verses. Then, when we've been doing these things right, Then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily. I didn't write this. This is good stuff. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your reward. Remember earlier the verse that I told you to memorize? You are the light of the world. Go out and shine so that they will see it, so that that mankind will see your good work. And as a result, they will glorify God. Isn't this what this is saying? And the glory of the Lord shall be your reward. Then shall you call, and the Lord shall answer, and you shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away from the midst of you the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, woe, and speaking vanity. Not asking for a show of hands how many times if any has ever done this, because I don't want us all to raise our hands. I'll do it for all of us. I know I have done these, and I'm sure all of us have. Verse 10, the other important verse. And if you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall your light rise in obscurity and your darkness as at the noonday. This is saying your darkness, the darkest part of your darkness, because you are doing it in the right way, will be like the noonday sun, which is the emphasis is, it's at the brightest time. It's the brightest time of the day. That's what our darkness will look like. Can you see darkness then? Nope. It's so bright, there is no darkness, and that's what this is telling us. When we have done this right, that's how our light shines. This is what God is telling us. This is what he is declaring. And the Lord shall guide you continually. How many of us want the Lord to be guiding us continually? All of us do. All of us do. And the Lord will satisfy your soul in drought and make fat your bones. And you shall be like a watered garden. Because we're shining our light brightly, all of these things God has promised are going to take place. They're going to happen. And like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Now I want us to go to the New Testament and see some verses that show us how we can better light our shine brightly so that the world will see what it is that God wants the world to see. Ephesians 4, verse 22. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. Verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation or conduct the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That's the way we were. That's darkness. And he says, put those things off. Put them off. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, in the thinking, the way we process things. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man. We walked in darkness. Remember the verse says, and where you sometimes were? That's the old man. Sometimes we were there, but now put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Again, not asking for show of hands, but have we ever lied? Or have we always spoken truth? We know the answer to that. But he says, stop doing that. Stop doing that. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up others. Remember the verse? That they will see what God wants them to see, and as a result, they will glorify God. This is what this is saying. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Do you think this is a dim light or a bright light? I think this is so bright, the million candle watt light that I have would look pale. I think you understand the point. 1 John 1 and verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. 1 John 2, verse 8. 1 John 2 and verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. Woohoo! Thank you, God. This is available. This is what He's saying. He's saying it's like we were in darkness. That's past. We now have Jesus Christ in us. We now have the Holy Spirit. We are begotten by the God, by the Father of lights. Verse 9. He that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He has can say that the darkness is past, but what God is saying through John here is no, he's still in darkness. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So being in part of the world is in darkness? Yes. Being out of the world, we can be in light? Yes. Love not the ways of the world. This is what he's saying. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, I didn't write this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, books and books and books can be written upon those three topics, is not of the Father and is of the world. Very powerful statements about letting our light shine. So, I wrap this all up with a question. A question that each one of us need to ask ourselves. How bright is my light shining? The Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you all, you bright lights.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111. Tampa, Florida, 33689.